The best Cork sporting action at the weekend.
One goal to win the title. It's as simple as that.
Can you believe this?
Have you ever seen a try like that?
The Big Red Bench.
On Cork's Good Times.
Red FM.
Thanks to Stevie G there, but welcome along to the Big Red Bench on Cork's Good Times, Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next hour, bringing you all of the sporting action from around the Rebel County and further afield. The Big Red Bench, in association with Bord Gáis Energy, proud partners of the Senior All-Ireland Hurling Championship. We'll get to that one a little bit later. What a week to be a Rebel, and hopefully a better week ahead. Getting straight into the action now. And the very own Joe McCarthy caught up with Shane Ronan over the Rebels TG Cahir All-Ireland LGFA senior semi-final with Galway in O'Connor Park, Tullamore on Saturday, July 20th. Enjoy.
Now, on Saturday, July 20th at Glenisk O'Connor Park in Tullamore, the TG Cahir All-Ireland LGFA senior football semi-final doubleheader at 7:30, Armagh take Kerry. But just before that, at 5:15, Cork meet Galway. Delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench by the Cork LGFA senior manager, Shane Ronan, to preview the game and talk about what a fantastic turnaround this season the Cork senior footballers have had. Shane, you're very welcome back to the bench. How are you?
Not too bad, no, Joe.
Good to be talking to you about an All-Ireland semi-final, and not a very, I would say, before we even say we get into it, this is by far your most difficult and your panel's most difficult task of the year.
Yeah, look, absolutely. Look, after we got over the quarterfinal on last Saturday, we were, you know, whoever we were going to be playing was it was going to be a huge game, and look, I wasn't surprised by Galway's win, so. You know, they had great potential there the last few years, and you know, I suppose the Dublin were missing a couple of their key players as well. So look, it's going to be a huge game in a week's time, and I think, you know, we have to be a lot better, I suppose, than what we were in MTU the last day against them, because I think they've improved immeasurably since then. So we really have to be very ready.
Yeah, that game in MTU Cork, the LGFA All-Ireland quarterfinal, at Cork won 112-110. A really intense, proper championship game is how you describe it, Shane. But the resiliency that your team showed, and down the stretch when the game was in the balance, and the calmness, and I suppose to pick off the scores to win it, considering even before you got you know, to the quarterfinals yourselves, that must give you hope going into this game.
Look, absolutely. We took great confidence in that game, and I think, you know, we played very well. You know, a long period of that game, you know, I looked at certain things we need to improve on, but I think we certainly showed that day they were, you know, every bit as good as Galway. You know, I think they're two very evenly matched teams. Look, I suppose Galway will be going into now as probably side favourites because they have beaten the All-Ireland champions, but I think based on where our trajectory is going, you know, we think we've every chance. We know we've got to be very good, but I think we're certainly improving game on game, so hopefully now we can see that further improvement in Tullamore and we can get the job done.
Yeah, 112 against Galway and then 117 the last day out against Waterford. We spoke after that game. We'll talk about your defence, but up front, the forwards seem to be clicking and a good spread of scores, which is exactly what you and your management team want to see.
Yeah, look, I mean, we had 115 from play and there's only two frees. We got, I think there were 10 different scores, 1-4 off the bench. You know, I think that's very, very important. It's supposed to be not over-reliant on, you know, we've got to be, we didn't see Noah, you have to be, you know, very dependent on Katie Quirk. But look, we've had other players to step up, like, you know, and like Emma Cleary, our scoring stats have gone way up. Now our man, he's contributing. You know, we get it off the bench, and I suppose look, that spread of scores, I think, is very important, that you're not over reliant on any one player, and I think that's very important for us, you know, going into the semi final, because if, you know, if any one of our marquee forwards is held, you know, we're looking at someone else to step up, and I think the fact that they're all starting to score, you know, is really helping us.
What's also helping us, Shane, is the depth of the panel now. When you bring in on Hannah Looney, Emer Kiley, Sive McGoldrick, Anna Ryan and Lily McDonough, and even the players you weren't able to bring on, the depth of the panel is something you spoke about at the start of the year, towards the end of the league campaign, that you needed to build depth if you wanted to get to the business end of what is always the most competitive of championships, the senior LGFA. How happy are you now that you and the management team have so many options off the bench heading into the semi-final?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, I suppose the league campaign didn't go great in terms of results, but I think what it did do was give lots of game time to players maybe who hadn't been seeing a lot of game time in the previous years. I think that's where the panel depth has come from, that, you know, you've got players to be able to come off the bench you know, now who have played a lot of senior football in the league, and you know, you're actually nearly guaranteed an impact from them. And I think there's other players who didn't even get on the last day who have picked up experience during the league as well. So we're delighted with that, because it's very, very competitive trying to get into the team. And we know, as I said, that the impact of the line, all the best teams in this country in the last 10 years have had massive impact off the bench. And I think that's going to be huge again in Tullamore, because, you know, it is a 20-player game now, because it's so attritional, and the intensity of the games, players, you know, you're looking at the GPS numbers and all, they're going through the roof. And I think, look, we definitely have a very, very strong panel at the moment. We're delighted with that. And as I said, experience gained through a difficult league campaign, but I think that experience through adversity now is shining through.
Yeah, it's definitely hardened a lot of players that are probably new to this All-Ireland Senior Championship from what I've seen, Shane, and whatever about the results, you certainly benefited, and a lot of players have benefited from the experience. Your defence as well is something I've been hugely impressed with, not just the last few weeks, but at the end of the league. The ability to force turnovers, the improvement in tackling has been very, very noticeable, and you're going to need that, because you've got Roisin Leonard and you've got Olivia Dively, just to name two, coming at them. How confident are you with the way that unit has improved and it's going to work in that semi-final?
We certainly looking at Dublin and the Dublin Galway again, like Galway's ability to get goals were absolutely crucial. So look, that's something we've got to make sure we don't allow. You know, they have some excellent forwards, and they give the wards there as well, as power forward. You know, those players are going to have to be marked, and I suppose stopping Galway getting goals, I think, will be crucial to me. Can we force Galway to shoot from outside their comfort zone? And I look, the defence has worked very hard. You know, a lot of, maybe sometimes it wasn't evident during the league, but there was a lot of new stuff being done, and different positions and different systems in play. And I think that all that now is coming to fruition, because I think the last day, a couple of laps in the concentration, but to limit Waterford to 6 goals, you know, considering what they had done to us earlier on the year, you know, we were very pleased with that.
And rightly so. The backbone of this Galway team, Shane, the Kilcairn Kilburn, and I know you know that club so well from the recent past and what they've achieved at club level. This is a very settled and a very solid Galway team. But as you said, there's going to be nothing in it. I imagine that this is going to come down to the last 10-15 minutes. But how confident are you with what you've seen from your own panel over, especially not just the last two games, but over the last couple of months, and the lead into the Munster and then the All-Ireland Championship, with the way this panel and this group of players have knuckled down and improved? You have every chance in the semi-final.
Look, absolutely, you're going into it, and like, you know, as I said, Galway are probably slight favourites, but there is nothing in it. And you know, there was nothing in MTU the last day. You know, there was probably a very tight league game this year. You know, there wasn't a whole pile in the championship last year, so two very evenly matched teams. They probably have a little bit more experience than us, you know, with the Pecan Camp Burn girls, you know, with the experience they have. Like, but I suppose, look, we've got maybe the element of youth, and you know, and players who don't fear what the hell is them. So look, we're really looking forward to it. You know, as I said, there's a huge competition for places. I'm sure training is going to be very intense in the next week or so. And I think, look, if we can get down the stretch, I think, you know, I do think we have a very good bench. So hopefully, if we can get down the stretch, and we can bring on the firepower off the bench to maybe see us over the line. I think I do think we have a very good chance.
Saturday, July 20th, Glenniscor Connor Park in Tullamore, Cork versus Galway at 5:15, the TG Cahir All-Ireland LGBA Senior Football Semi-Final. Shane Ronan, the very best of luck from everybody in Cork Shred FM and Big Red Bench to you and your panel in that game.
Thanks very much, sir.
And he also spoke to Laura O'Mahony.
Now, delighted to be joined here on Cork Shred FM's Big Red Bench by Cork LGFA and O'Donovan Ross and senior footballer Laura O'Mahony, ahead of Cork's All-Ireland, TG Cahir All-Ireland LGFA Senior Football Semi-Final against Galway at 5:15 in O'Connor Park in Tullamore on Saturday, July the 20th, as part of a doubleheader, because it's immediately followed by the second semi-final between Armagh and Kerry. Laura, you're very welcome back to the bench. How are you?
Good, thanks, Ger. How are you?
I'm not too bad. I'm busy, like yourself. You're busy in a very different way than to myself. Considering how the league went and it didn't go Cork's way, the transformation between the end of the league and to now, to one step from an All-Ireland final, take me through that from the Cork panel's point of view. What has happened, and is it all down to hard work? Is it down to togetherness? Is it down to just what has happened in the intervening period? Because Cork have got incrementally better with every game since then, and now you face a huge challenge against Galway, but you're one step from an All-Ireland. What has happened?
Yeah, I suppose I think a lot of things have happened here. You know, the league was something that we needed. It was almost eye-opening to us that, look, losing a lot of experienced players last year, we really needed to bond as a team, I suppose, after the league. I think if you told anyone at the panel or management that we would be in the position of an All-Ireland semi-final at the end of the league, we would have grabbed it with both hands. So I think it's down to a lot of elements. You know, we've worked really, really hard as a group together. We've got some psychology talks as well from a man. So I think all of those aspects really, really help. I think we're closer to management as well. And we opened our eyes, I suppose, to what we needed to improve on. There was a lot of them that we needed to improve on, but we also took the confidence in the things, I suppose, that we took good out of the league. You know, I think we brought in a lot of new players. They got a lot of game time in the league. So that's standing to us now. You know, like, everyone's talking about our bench at the moment, and it's kept being brought up, but I think it's so important. Like, every time those five players are coming off the bench, every time the players are pushing us in training, that's what's getting us over the line, I think, at the business end of the season.
With that in mind, how competitive, and you've been through this already, but how competitive are the training, might say, matches in the build-up to this? I mean, it's obvious you're being pushed, everyone is being pushed. And as you said, you rightly said, like, the bench press and the bench effect, like 1-4 off the bench the last day against Waterford. How competitive are those matches?
Yeah, they're almost like a championship game every week, nearly, when we play the so-called AVB games. Mm-hmm. We played one the week before the Waterford game, and Shane told us that we wouldn't have known who was who. You know, it's that competitive. And I think that's exactly what you need. A couple of years ago, people might have said, you'd want to be starting in that team now. But it's not about who starts anymore. I think it's about the five that come on. I think you look at the Dublin men's team from a few years ago, their bench came on and won it for them every time. So I think that's the mentality that we're looking at the moment, and it's a optimistic view, I suppose, and that's what's getting us over the line.
Yeah, that's a very good point. It's an optimistic, it's what we can achieve rather than worrying about what was going wrong from the start of the year. I think that's been the key dynamic, and it's interesting with the psychology side of it as well, and the help that you've gotten on that is clearly working. From your own personal point of view, you're covering a lot of ground. I mean, you're listed as centre forward or half forward some days, but you have this roving role where you get, I think it's something you like to do, you like to get on the ball as often as you can, whether it's deep or whether it's closer to the goal. You're enjoying the role, and clearly, and three-fisted points, we're scouring the history books to see, has a Cork senior LGFA player managed that, but three-fisted points the last day against Waterford. You're clearly enjoying your football at the moment.
Yeah, I think if you're looking at the history books, you need to check maybe those players scored with their feet as well. But yeah, no, I am really enjoying it. I think it's been a bit of a transition, especially with the Cork team. You know, I started off as a wing forward, and then we went into the back line, and now back to the forward line. But in the game at the moment, it's very evolutional, where you could play anywhere and all the positions are very similar. But yeah, I suppose getting back to it, I really am enjoying the position. You know, it's kind of similar to what I do with my club, and I really like, you know, just getting the ball and driving forward and supporting the other players around me. So really liking it at the moment.
Yeah, it's clear that you are, and from the effect that you're having on the team. It's not so long ago we were in MTU Cork, and a real tough championship game, you know, not even a cliche, the winning by 2 points against the Galway team that put it up to you right down the stretch. You would have been involved in that, you would have been up front and seen that, as well as that, and since that you would have seen how they knocked out the All-Ireland champions after extra time the last day. This is a serious Galway team, the Divilies, the Wards, like, you know, every single line, just like yourselves, there's experience and there's dynamism, and you know, you are very similar, I think, in approach yourselves in Galway, and how you like to attack from deep and get the ball forward as quickly as possible. This is going to be an absolutely mammoth task, Laura, taking on a team that's coming off a victory over Dublin.
Yeah, definitely. I think outsiders might look at the game 2 weeks ago and see that Cork were up 2 points and won that game, but that's not as straightforward as what it's going to be at all the next day. You know, like you've said it there, those girls are the backbone of their club All-Ireland senior team. So I think playing with your club and playing together as part of a club and then moving that into county is something that's really hard to crack. So I think as a team with Cork ourselves, we're going to have to try and counteract that. But I suppose just focusing on ourselves, you know, looking at the Galway game and the Waterford game, things that we did really well and trying to implement that again now in 2 weeks' time, but also being open and honest with ourselves and looking at the things that I suppose we were a bit disappointed with and trying to improve on that then coming into the 2 weeks, you know, being focused on ourselves and what we can do. That's the mentality we've had in every game and taking every game step by step. You know, we took the league and we parked that, then we moved on to the Munster campaign, then we took the Laois game, the Galway game, and now after the Waterford game we just need to focus on Galway and Galway only.
Rightly so. You're injury free, Laura, and you've had enough injuries that we've spoken about in interviews down through the years, both for club and intercounty. It's clearly reflected in your football being injury free. You know, you're able to hit, you know, you're able to do what you want to do, and you're able to influence games like you've always been capable of doing. How refreshing is that for you coming into the business end of the championship?
Yeah, definitely. Look, touch wood. Nothing now for the rest of the year again. But I suppose compared to last year, would have said that it was a bit stressful, you know, with final year of college, and we were on placement and in college then in the evenings and then trying to go to training and balance just the work, school, life balance. Kind of got on top of me a small bit last year, but I was in Kinsale Community School this year and they were nothing but good to me. And I think even that lifestyle and being able to go home and having that support system around me really, really helped with my recovery and my food and things like that. So it's not just about what I'm doing myself, but the support around me is really helpful. And everyone plays a part in keeping it injury-free.
Excellent stuff. Saturday, July 20th, Glenisco Connor Park in Tullamore, a part of a doubleheader of TG Carr All-Ireland LGFA Senior Football Semi-Finals at 7:30. Armagh will take on Kerry, but at 5:15, Cork and Galway meet for the second time in this year's championship. From everybody in Cork's Red FM's Big Red Bench, Laura Manny, to you and the Cork team, we wish you all the best, and we'll see you in Tullamore.
Thanks very much, Chair.
Well, great stuff there. Be sure to get to that one if you so can. Hurling fans, some good news, and not just because Cork are in the final, of course. Off the ball, OTB are hosting an All-Ireland Hurling Final preview live from the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre in Dublin on Friday the 19th of July. You can get your tickets now, and you can join Win O'Callaghan, Paul Murphy, Anthony Nash, he's a fantastic speaker, and Podge Collins, plus some very special guests. I wonder who they are on the eve of the All-Ireland Hurling Final. By the way, I'm not insinuating that's myself. This is an exclusive off-air event for a great cause, with all ticket proceeds going to the Bord Gáis Energy charity partner, Focus Ireland. Tickets are limited, so head on over to offtheball.com/events to grab yours now. No, I'm coming to this one.
He's in your head.
Well, the voice you just heard there was Dara Murphy, and we are delighted to have Dara here in studio in the Big Red Bench. Dara, the big final coming up, 2 Sundays' time. There's been such a scramble for tickets. First and foremost, are you actually going to the game? Because so many people out there.
I can say I'm going to the game. I won't say I've gotten tickets, but I have them. We're going. I'm absolutely buzzing. It'll be Sunday for the parish. Jeez.
It's been a long time coming for Cork fans. I know we had a thumping against Limerick, but that was, of course, was a COVID year. You're going a bit back before then, 2013.
Against Clare as well,
against Clare. I mean, people were saying we owe Clare one from earlier this year. I think, to be honest, we owe Clare 2 from that All-Ireland final that many moons ago.
And the replay.
At 3, so we'll put it as 3. Personally, how do you see this one going from the Rebels? It seems no stopping the Rebel army at the moment.
I mean, right now, I can't see us. I mean, I can see us losing. Like, Clare, very good side. Just the absolute camaraderie from the team we saw the other day. You know, they were behind at half time against Limerick, second half. What everyone wanted to see was a bit of fight, and they showed fight. Every ball that came into the square, Downey was up for it. Their ball was out. You know, Patrick Collins pucking out brilliant balls. It was just so good to see them actually fighting. You can tell they really, really wanted that Liam McCarthy, and that's what got them through the game. Like, and they want it for Hoggy, they want it for all the other lads, and I think they'll do. I think they will.
There is something about it this year. We're Cork fans. We're gonna lose the run.
Like, we are delusional, but like, come on, like, they can do it.
they're absolutely capable. They beat, in my opinion, the greatest team of all time twice in the 1 year. So I don't really, you know, what does that say about this Cork side if they can go on and beat the greatest team of all time?
I mean, it says, you know, we're here to stay. Like, this might be the start of something. This could be the start of a potential dominance as well. From if we were to go on and win it, you know,
or at least, you know, potential back at the top table. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, the first time Limerick won in 2018. You know, that was kind of the start of their reign. You know, they lost 2019 to Tip, and then Limerick then went on do four in a row. Five, you know, was stopped by Cork. So if Cork can stop a, you know, potentially five-time winning All Ireland side twice in the 1 year, and just, you know, and the way they beat them, Clare weren't, or Limerick weren't off by any chance, or they you know, they were not off their game. Cork were just on their game. They were beaten by a better hurling team.
Absolutely. I mean, the scenes we saw after the Limerick game. Were you there at the match?
I was at the match, yeah.
How was that experience for you?
So it was a great experience. I was there too, my friends. We were surrounded by Limerick fans, unfortunately. A lot of them very annoying. But it was great at half time. They were not interested in shaking hands after the game. They were fuming. Your man kept whacking my seat behind me. He was very angry. But what an experience. I got a bit emotional after the game. I was like, this is, you know, we're going to the final.
I think there was a lot of people tearing up in Croke Park. I'll be totally honest.
I mean, the scenes at Hill 16 were unreal. I wish I was over the other side of the stadium, really.
Yeah, no, it certainly was wild. And look, Cork hurling looks like it's here to stay. That, going back to that game, and I didn't really get to do a proper review of it yet, so I'll do it now. But I guess a lot of the fringe guys, maybe Pat Collins came in for a lot of stick all year, but he definitely had a man of the match performance anyway.
He was unreal.
In terms of levels, like, I mean, yeah, I mean, his experience, I mean, hasn't been great, let's admit it, at times in the Cork net, but I think goalkeeping is such a mental thing, so hopefully now he's able to grab that confidence and really kick on, because that Gallant save, where he just threw himself at it, you know, he was willing to do for that Cork jersey.
I mean, the whole game, he probably made three, four, you know, two, three big saves, as well as his distribution was unbelievable. In the second half especially. In the first half, people might have been kind of complaining that we were putting it long, we weren't winning the balls. But, you know, that wasn't exactly his fault. You know, it could be argued. Second half, he went long, he found the spaces in behind. He took some Limerick lads out of the game, mm-hmm. and his puck outs were exceptional, as well as saves, and just amazing.
No, he was, to be fair. And look, puck outs strategies are two completely different things. I guess puck outs themselves are coming down to the goalkeeper, but puck out strategies, which has been, I think, the real killer for Cork a lot of times this year. I think that seems to be rectified, whatever was happening there, and they've really started to drive on now. We've seen against Limerick too, look, fairly lacklustre performances before that, but if they were saving themselves for the Limerick game, I won't certainly be complaining.
I mean, the entire game, I think Colin had one mistake. She went short, got intercepted, we lost the point, you know, and that can be a risk. We've seen it throughout the championship. You know, he did that once, twice, and it resulted in a goal. I think it was against Tip possibly, or and maybe Offaly, you know, the short puck out gets intercepted, it's a goal. But he only made one mistake, everything else was exceptional, I thought.
Yeah, I guess it's unfortunate from a goalkeeper point of view. You make one mistake and naturally it results in a goal and everyone knows.
I'd be in the goalkeepers union, so I'd be fairly it'd be hard to criticise him, really.
Yeah, you'll understand. And I mean, I got a lot of the other fringe guys, not necessarily fringe guys, maybe it's not trying to undermine them in any way, shape or form, but you know, guys like Mark Coleman came into his own. And if you're looking at who was the better halfback between himself, for I thought before the match, hurler of the year, Kyle Hayes, I thought Mark Coleman had a better performance than your Kyle Hayes. So many guys stepped up. Dickie Dalton, did he have a better game than Garrow Tiggs? Another hurler of the year show. Absolutely, he did.
100%. I mean, Dickie Dalton had one insane point, you know, nearly from his own, well into his own half.
That has to be the biggest roar.
That was, you know, came from a Limerick attack, you know. We managed, you know, defend it very well. Comes Dickie Dalton, he hits it, and the roar from the Rebel, the Rebel roar, you heard that after stadium as well. It was unbelievable.
No, it was the Pat Collins save. Glenn misses it.
Yeah, that's it.
On the ground, it spills out to Dickie Dalton somehow, and he just pops it over. When I say pops it over, he drives the thing over the bar from, jeez, it felt like 100 yards back.
I'd say as well that the roar from, I think, was the first point from his own half, Downey.
That was a huge point as well.
What a point. I think we were, Limerick got the first point, second point then just comes up.
Yeah.
Oh, what a
goal. And I guess there was so much worry because we were told beforehand coming into it that Kylie was showing all the lads the videos from the Cork fans after the Parky Key game running onto the pitch, and we were hearing all kind of stuff like that, and people were maybe worried, myself included. are Limerick going to come out here and just absolutely dominate us from the get go?
They came out to be fair, they came out and it was a great game of hurling for the neutral even, but Cork just, they worked that out, they did a little bit extra. And I heard people saying, oh, Cork are lucky, there was no, you know, there should have been more added time. There probably should have been a little bit more added on, just for not so much time wasting, but just there was a lot of stoppages in that extra period. But
I'm not complaining about that.
Yeah, oh, geez, I was like, blow the whistle.
I guess it was a bit of an odd one though, type of game that it was. You know, there was no big score in the last, I don't think there was a score in the last 5-6 minutes of the game, considering
we didn't score since 64. We didn't score for 10 minutes actually. We our last point was in 64th. Limerick got a few, so we are like, Cork didn't score till 64.
Oh,
so it was 10 minutes, just great defending.
And it was great defending, to be fair, in the Parky Keefe game. You know, it was such a great occasion, and it's probably still of the two games my preferred one, just the
you were there, I suppose,
and everything about it was just amazing. But yeah, just what two special occasions to be a part of. The final now this week. What do you think about the ticket allocation stuff? Because it seems to be the big talking point on everybody's lips. How do you think they should be allocated? Because to be fair to the people, other clubs, they're the people who drive the GA. But I also know there's Cork supporters who've gone to like every single game, or most of them, who are really now struggling to get tickets. And I get the club system, and you know, they are completely the grassroots of the GAs. They're a blended option the GA could maybe look at. I know people will say, well, get your season ticket. In my own opinion, you don't get that much great value from season tickets anymore, unless you know you're not going to be in the final. But it certainly didn't feel like it this year. Let's be real about it.
In a way, like you say, it could be, you know, it's fair. You see what they're trying to do. They're trying to make sure, you know, it's the absolute, you know, it's the lads who are going day in and day out and who are getting the tickets. But at the same time, you know, like say myself now, I'm living in Limerick for most of the week, unfortunately. But, you know, and like, they don't want me to get tickets then. Like, there's no point me getting a season ticket, you know, and then, like, the public tickets was a way we could all get them. Like, for say, fine, I know loads of lads getting tickets. No, they weren't plastic fans by any means. They were all up for it. I mean, I didn't see anyone there who didn't know what they're at all. Like, and obviously, you know, you've all the corporate sponsors getting tickets, and it's a hard one to actually kind of figure out how to distribute, I suppose. But I don't know, what do you make of it? Like,
well, look, as you were saying, you got your tickets, but I definitely sympathise with people who haven't got them, and they're sweating on entering these.
Oh, no, I'm very lucky. Like, I'm very lucky.
Now, and I think something, you know, I know there's kind of these brunches and dinners and things like that where, you know, you're paying an excessive amount of money for these previews, and I get, you know, GA needs funding as well, but it just feels lousy on some fans, I think, kind of trying to take advantage maybe of some of the desperation that they have for the tickets.
Yeah, I mean, the money they're already putting matches on GA go, that's one you talk about when I'm going to talk about.
The Clare lads are having a brunch, I think, for Friday before the final. They're doing a preview brunch, and it's £300 for a brunch. You get your All-Ireland final ticket in that.
Okay, but £300.
So that's, you know, you take £100 out of that for your final ticket, you don't know where it is, and then you're paying £200 for a bit of grub. Like, I mean, that's not really fair on any. Yeah, that's not fair on any fans either.
For the average GA fan, you know, even €100 for the ticket is what they were saying at the start, you know, for a sin ticket is crazy, like, for the average fan, like.
Absolutely. Well, we were kind of writing a few songs together, myself and yourself. Do you want to break out the guitar there and we'll play them live on air? Well, we released the Hoggy Zombie Chant before the semi-final, so I think we'll hear that one first, and then we'll see where we are from there then.
Another hurl is broken, Cork are taking over, and we're heading up to Croker, standing shoulder to shoulder. And I swear you will see over Red Hill 16. In your head, they're still fighting. He's in your head, in your head. Hage, he's in your head. Hage, hey, yeah.
You have another one. Shane Kingston on the wing.
We do have the Shane Kingston
Jota
one.
Jota on the wing, of course, and Celtic chant.
Celtic chant or Liverpool chant, depending who you support. But here we go.
When you score, you make the rebels sing. Kingston on the wing. Kingston, Kingston on the wing. Every time you're on the ball, we know there's gonna be a goal. Our super sub from Roaches Town. La da 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 da. La da 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 da. La da 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 da.
You've one last one inspired by Shut Up and Dance.
Oh yeah, so this one, inspired by the father, I must say, give credit, Brian Murphy, thanks for this. He was convinced this one will go viral. So, you know, what you think will give us a go anyway. Here we go now.
So from the Glen Black Rock, Barstairs and Fire and Re, and to the Legends Ring, Pat Ryan's and Glenn's Hoggy, this is a moment now, this is our destiny, sing. Ooh, ooh, bring Liam back to the league.
Something like that anyway.
Darren, that's absolutely incredible. Well, look, thanks so much for coming in here on the Big Red Bench. Hopefully we'll have a few tunes released during the week. The Instagram Super and Casey, give your own social channels.
My social anyway, Durf Footy on TikTok or Durf Music on TikTok, either one, and it's Dara_M_ on Instagram. Thanks for having me.
Well, look, give us a final prediction for the final. Be the last
prediction,
time we'll have you
prediction
in,
for the final. Score prediction or just who's winning?
Well, both.
Cork obviously going to win it. Obviously, here we go. Come on, the Rebels.
Dara, thanks so much. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks very much.
The ref's whistle has gone for half time here on the Big Red Bench. Ireland have beaten South Africa, by the way, thanks to a last minute drop goal from Frawley. Wow, and what a drop goal it was. Plenty more sporting action to come after the break. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times Red FM with myself, Dan Casey, the Big Red Bench, in association with Bord Gáis Energy, proud partners of the Senior All-Ireland Hurling Championship. And speaking of which, here is Wayne Sherlock, Cork selector, speaking to Joe McCarthy ahead of the All-Ireland Final.
Okay, the build-up to an All-Ireland Final is full of hype, excitement. Cork fans and supporters are obviously delighted to be in this position and scrambling for tickets inside the dressing room with the management team, Wayne. How important is it that you knuckle down immediately and just get on to the job at hand of taking on Clare?
Yeah, it's vital, but at the end of the day, I think Pat said it yesterday that you have to embrace it as well, you know. Just, I suppose from where this team have come from, I suppose losing two games and where they are now, you have to embrace it. We get all this media stuff done, tickets and all that done, that'll be done, but the players have to embrace it because look, it doesn't happen every day. But at the end of the day, it's going to be man to man against Clare, and that's something that I think this player for a young group, they're very mature, and people from the outside probably don't realise that. So look, we'll tell them that it's all about the game, but I think they know. I think even the feeling yesterday after the match, yeah, it was great, we jumped around the place and we were happy, but just got a feeling the players weren't happy with just that, you know.
Yeah, and the manager sets the tone. Pat Ryan has set the tone all year. He's been level-headed when you've lost. He's been level-headed when you've won. And it's nothing won yet. We'll enjoy it, but we'll go again. And how important is it to hear a manager and a backroom team tell the players to actually go and enjoy the victory?
Yeah. Look, I think Pat said it's an amateur sport. And look, fellas have jobs. And look, especially losing two games, there's a lot of negative stuff about this team. And I suppose that's one thing we kept telling the players. We believe in them. Do the odds mean the game? They didn't. But now they're starting to believe in themselves a bit more. And look, they're amateur players. They go to work. They go to school. They're teachers. They're girls, whatever. And there's sometimes a lot of amateur players to be expected to have a big smile on their face when things aren't going well. So we keep telling these fellas and embrace it. But as I said, these players are very mature for the age profile that they are, and I just get a feeling they're just not happy with what they have at the moment.
Good to hear that.
Yeah.
How refreshing, how delighted were the backroom team, the management team, to execute the game plan and see it come through as well as it did, because everything you needed to do to beat a 5-in-a-row chasing team, best team of its era, came good on the day. And again, from your point of view, refreshing that not one player was the reason for the victory. It was a real team and substitutes effort.
Yeah, I suppose that was the big thing, even looking back on it today. Just the pride that they brought. Every player was, and there was standouts, but there was every player just put a shoulder to the wheel. Look, as you said, you're playing the best team that ever played a game, and I don't say that lightly because I played against the great Kilkenny teams, but this team are incredible. So we knew that we had to bring our A game, and if we didn't, and that's one thing about this team, Offaly Dublin shut out. If we don't bring our A game, we can be ordinary. But if we bring our A game, we can be a match for anyone. And I think we showed we beat Limerick twice this year. Did we get a trophy? We didn't. But look, all we want is players to get a bit of belief. And I think beating Limerick has to give you belief. But as I said, if we don't bring our A game, we'll struggle. And I think the players know that. So yesterday, the whole match of the game today, just the pride that they give, and the Cork public, I think they've got involved in this team, something I haven't witnessed for a long time. But I think the players are giving back. I think the players can feel the love they're getting from the Cork crowd, and it's been inspiration. It has really been. The night against Limerick here, when things weren't going great, we lost two games. Cork public came out and they were absolutely behind this team 100%. Yeah.
From your perspective, you had some great days, but you had some not so good days in a Cork jersey. Are you able to remind the players of how lucky they are to be in the position they're in, but also that when things aren't going well, like those first two games against Waterford and Clare, stick to the process, believe in what we're doing, and it will turn? Were you able to bring that experience?
Yeah, look, I suppose all you can do is pass on your experience to the players, you know. And look, you're not doing it to get any plaudits from it. All you want to do is just give them the experience. And I suppose that's why we have a few fellas involved who were involved in 99. And all we can do is give experiences. Look, you give some players advice, and if they take it, they take it. If they don't, but our big thing is, after two losses, we played very well against Clare. We conceded a few goals we shouldn't have conceded. We missed a few chances, but we actually played well, and we came out that dressing room saying, we actually played well today. So we were playing Limerick the next day, and we knew we had to bring it. And look, you're trying to help the players as much as you can, but they got to really embrace this, because look, you look at Patrick Horgan playing for 17 years and playing two finals. Doesn't happen every day, especially coming from Munster. You're like, just because we're in the Ireland final this year doesn't mean we're going to get out of Munster next year, you know. So players have really, really got to grasp it. We've a lot of young fellas inside there, and I'd be telling them, and I told Murray, you can't take care on Joyce. These things don't happen every day, especially looking 19 years Cork waiting for to bring Lee McCarthy back. You'll have good days and bad days as a Cork hurler. You'll probably remember the bad days more than the good days at times, but I just keep telling them that these things don't happen. You've got to embrace them, catch them with both hands. And if you've got a chance, Apostry and against Clare, you've got to take it with both hands.
Motivation won't be an issue. Determination, preparation will all be done by the time you come out, step out in Croke Park. Standing across from you is Brian Lawn. Standing across from you is an equally hungry Clare public and a Clare team. Yeah. Is that a good thing in a way, and that you're both in the same boat, and that you aren't going to be thinking too much about them anyway? No. You got to focus on doing what you got to do.
Yeah. And I suppose that's one thing, good thing from the start of the year, it was all about us. Yeah. If we get our camp going, and teams might say that, if we get our camp going and start believing themselves a bit more and stick to the process and stick to the game plan, and all fella doing his own thing. As I said, if we bring it, we'll compete with anyone. I think we've done it. But the one thing is clear, even as a player against Clare, you were going to get, it's man to man. You can see the way they defend, the way they attack. They go man to man and defending. And I've seen them. I watched a lot of the videos from behind the goal. They go man to man, and it's so black and white. This game against Clare, it's man to man. Who wants it more? If they want to go physical, we can go physical. If they want to go play ball, we go play ball. And that's exactly what we want, because I think we can mix it with any way they want to do it.
Finally, you sound like you're enjoying it. Obviously, you're into an All-Ireland final, but you're enjoying being part of the Pat Ryan management team. The dynamic of that team and the other people involved, how much has that changed over the last 12, 24 months?
I suppose, look, we were lucky with the same group of fellas who were involved in we won 220 Ireland's. And look, the one thing we said to the players when we came in, you have to enjoy it. Yeah. And it was, and we tried to bring that. We'll be serious, we want to be serious, but we put a smile on our face, and we need to put a smile on our face. And when players are smiling, they'll play better, they'll feel better, and everything is better. But sometimes in the county it gets a bit serious and a bit, you know, at the end of the world stuff. But look, there's a lot of stuff, there's a lot of hard stories out there at the moment in life, and look, amateur sport is not one of them, but we want the players to enjoy themselves. Look, I'm enjoying myself. When I got involved in the 20s, did I think I'd enjoy it as much? Because you can't be playing, and playing is easier, believe me, it is, even in days like yesterday. But look, when you're a player, you're worried about yourself and trying to get yourself right and be ready to help the lads. But when you're a selector, you're worried about 36 players and how their form is, trying to keep everyone involved when they're not playing. And it's hard, but like when you see a performance like against Limerick, when everyone put a shoulder to the wheel, it just fills you with pride. It's brilliant.
All the best in the final. Yeah, excellent stuff. Thanks,
man. Thanks, George. Thanks, lad.
Yeah, all the best to Wayne indeed. Now here's Clare's Tony Kelly, the great Tony Kelly, speaking to Tommy Rooney.
Tony Kelly, congratulations at the weekend. Job done for Clare. Second All-Ireland final appearance. Well, actually a third, a replay in 13, but it's 11 years since the first time you reached one. What's the build-up going to be like this time in comparison to 11 years ago?
It's definitely shorter. I think we had 3 weeks maybe after the last one. I think we had 3 weeks to the first one and 3 weeks then to the second one. So definitely shorter, trying to get, I suppose, all the... I suppose different things boxed off maybe this week. But yeah, definitely shorter, probably better from a player's perspective in terms of you've this week maybe to recover, maybe to start of the week, then good training on the weekend, and then you're kind of into match week. So it's
there's barely time to think about it, really.
Yeah, there isn't. I think we're probably lucky in a sense. Like Cork, a lot of those Cork players played in 2021, I think it was. I think we've seven maybe from the 2013 panel, so we still have a good cohort of older lads or experienced lads that can draw from that in terms of sort of different things that kind of come with an All Ireland kind of final preparation or preparation week. So yeah, I suppose the build up is probably for the lads outside the camp. Us inside the camp, it's pretty straightforward. We've had 2 weeks kind of between every game, so it's kind of suits us in that way.
At half time the last day, Brian Owen said after the game he could have taken six or seven players off and nobody would have had complaints. You mentioned the seven that played in 13. Was there a feeling that for a lot of you, you had to turn up or your chance is going to go?
It was definitely in the... We didn't... Obviously, it didn't go to plan the first half for us, but in terms of, I suppose, at half-time, you can tweak. We probably tweaked, I suppose, the setup that we were doing. And then probably it was down to basic things then. Probably skill execution probably being the main one, our use of ball. Maybe giving the ball to the lad in the right position. Things like that. But then obviously our intensity, our work rate had to come up twofold. And I suppose, look, we referenced it at halftime that it was, we can't let another opportunity slip. And I suppose it was very similar to 12 months ago. Same thing happened. We didn't really play well in the first half and we came out in the second half and we probably played the best 25 minutes we'd played in the last 3 or 4 years in last year's All-Ireland semi-final. And I suppose we were, what was it, 4 or 5 down the weekend. It's not that much in hurling, so if you can kind of wrestle momentum back was kind of the big thing. That was the big probably talking point. Get a few scores on the board, get momentum back, and then once we had that, I thought our bench then probably won us the game coming down the home straight in terms of their impact, getting on ball, and then I suppose turning that ball into scores.
Like, straight at the start of the second half, Shane O'Donnell gets on ball, wins a free, converted. Peter Dungan wins a ball, score. Davy Fitz gets assisted, point. There's contacts from your key players very, very quickly. You nearly receive a pass from Davy Fitz. The pass is just a little bit overcooked. And then Kilkenny's 1-1 comes. Your first touch of that second half is the score immediately after it. Was it hard to get yourself into that game? And what's it like when, I suppose, the touches are so scarce and keeping yourself in it? Because your sixth touch in the second half is the third point you get. You know, they're key moments, but you were on the periphery of the game at times.
Yeah, I suppose you're kind of... I suppose you're trying to get on ball, but you're probably conscious then of you can go chasing it probably too much and not get on any ball. I suppose in midfield your probably primary job is probably to get on breaking ball and probably, I suppose, assist your half back line as best you can. In terms of getting on ball, you just have to be patient with it. Sometimes you can make 8 or 9 runs and be on seven balls in a row. Sometimes you can make run after run and get on no ball. But the key thing is, when you get on the ball, is to make use of it. I suppose that's probably the key thing.
Are you conscious of it mid-game, kind of how much you're involved? I know it's very different to say football, where you might get more touches in a game like hurling. You can have a couple of touches and have a huge impact. Like, are you conscious of it in the game?
You're probably conscious of it that you want to probably get on ball and impact it as best you can in terms of just getting a ball and getting the team probably going forward, or trying to get a turnover or win the ball back. But the biggest thing, I suppose, it comes with probably experience is not to chase it. I suppose in the past, I've seen where I've chased it and instead of being on 6 balls, you're on none. And obviously you're having no impact whatsoever. But I suppose the key thing in hurling at the minute, I suppose, is probably structure and the use of ball when you're on it. As you said there, start second half, we started getting our key lads around the middle eight probably on the ball more than we were in the first half. And once you're doing that and getting those lads into the game, you're probably drawing out the opposition and you've, I suppose, more likely of a chance to score and hurt the opposition to scoreboard. So that's probably one of the biggest changes we made from halftime than what we weren't doing in the first half.
Yeah, well done on Saturday evening. A huge thing getting over the line, because to do before, if it was 3 in a row, you know, that's tough. What's the feeling finally during that Limerick Cork game? Are you totally neutral? Did you get caught up in the emotion of it?
No, not really. No, you don't. I suppose you kind of get caught up in what both teams are probably doing. You're probably looking at it. You're watching it, but you're kind of watching the game within the game, if that makes sense. You're kind of watching who's picking up who's going where, what are they doing? So when a kind of score goes over the bar or goes into the net, you're kind of watching what happened before that. You're not really paying attention to, let's say, the normal fans' kind of reaction to it. Total impartial. Didn't make a difference. Those obviously two fantastic teams. So looking forward to it.
Best of luck in 2 weeks, son.
Perfect.
Well, we'll park the hurling for now, but a big, big week ahead for the Rebels. We'll turn our attention to football. Cork City had a 1-0 win over Finn Harps last night. And now, of course, we'll be playing Harps at home once more this coming Saturday in Turner's Cross. Be sure to get down there for the Cup game. We're back to last night. And our very own Rory O'Hagan spoke to Cork City boss Tim Clancy in the post-match press conference.
Tim, we've been saying it for weeks and weeks and weeks, but that kid is special, and that goal from Conor Sullivan tonight was just something else.
Yeah, we know what the club, how good he is. We know the talent that he has, the skill level, the excitement he brings to people. He gets them on the edge of their seats, but I'm hoping he gets enough protection, because he's going to end up with a really bad injury unless he's protected, because people are not even looking at the football and they're just going down the back of his legs, they're kicking him, they're volleying him. And I just hope that officials allow one of the best young players in this country to show his skills and not just get booted off the pitch every single week, and nothing gets done about it. That's my biggest concerns with Cahill. What a career he could have, what an unbelievable talented kid. I just hope that he gets enough protection that he's not going to end up with a broken leg, and then we see a kid that's not able to fulfil his talent because he's not getting looked after.
Yeah, because he gets a lot of attention for the type of player he is, as you said, but he kind of just bounced off, laughed off a lot of tackles today, but the last one seemed to be a bit heavy and he seemed to go off with a knock. Is he all right?
It's not about bouncing off tackles. It's a matter of a millimetre. If his foot's on the ground, he's going to end up with his leg getting snapped in half. It's something that has to be looked at. When we mention it, it's we look at it. It's going to be too late for him, and that's my biggest fear. He's one of the most talented kids I've ever seen play football at any level. He's unbelievable. You see his goal last week, he's his goal this week, and now we're sitting here and the biggest concern for us is if he's going to get through games, not out of fitness, not of anything else other than opposition attention that he's getting.
So do you feel teams are deliberately targeting him, or is it something that happens organically during a game?
He's a talented kid, so you want to try and you look at our team, we've many talented players, he's one of them. He's creative, he can get the ball, he receives it in tight areas, and I'm sure there's talk going on saying stop him, leave a bit on him if you have to, but this is where referees have to protect him. Go and give a yellow card, the first bad one he gets. There was one this evening where nobody could see, it was right in front of us in the dugout. He's 60 yards away from the ball and their fullback's just trod right down the back of his Achilles. And the kid goes down, it's right in front of the fourth official, I'm not sure if you've seen it, but he's 60 yards away from the ball and they're trodding all over him to try and leave a bit on him to say, right, there you go, I'll show you. And that's my biggest concern. What a player, what a match winner tonight, again, with an unbelievable goal, but that's my biggest concern now, because there's a pattern coming that we can see this every single week.
Do you think anything will be done for him?
I hope there is, before it's too late.
Overall, what's your thoughts on the game?
I didn't think we were great. I thought it was a scrappy game. Very, very loose in possession first half. I thought Greg Bulger was exceptional in the middle of the pitch. Picked up every second ball. Loads of energy. He had the composure to pick a pass out. Murph was excellent when he came on. Connor did very well up front in the first half, but Murph gave us that focal point. I thought we could have got a little bit more. In the final third, we were trying to find the perfect pass and the perfect goal where we just want to shoot more. And that's what we said afterwards, we need more shots on target, more balls into the box, make teams defend. But again, I think Brad's had one save second half where it's a probably a good little play for McAteer, who's another talented young kid, and he skips past two players in the middle of the pitch, plays it wide, and it's a deep cross. And listen, again, that's what Brad's done all season. That's why he's got the most clean sheets in the country. It's a good volley at the back post, and he gets there and saves it with his legs. So do I think that we were a better team? I do, yeah. Do I think we can play better? Certainly. But again, it's a little bit of magic from an unbelievable footballer that has won us. That's the advantage we have been full-time. I've said it all season that we're at an advantage in this league, being the only full-time team. They've had a long journey today themselves. They were very much in the game themselves. We didn't create too much, and that's not us being poor. It's a combination of we can be more creative, but you're also up against a well-disciplined and well-organised team, and it's not always easy to create chances and have free flowing football, because I think there must have been, how many yellow cards did he get? Maybe five or six, yeah, that every time he broke just pulled us down and fouled us and took a yellow card. And that's experience. It's probably what we lack a little bit in the squad, but it is when they get into dangerous positions. It's an experienced team that will take a foul, will take a yellow card and stop the game and slow it down. And we need to be able to counteract that. And I think that's where we're probably a little bit disappointed tonight in the final third, but overall delighted with the result. Again, listen, the objective next week is to try and win the game of football again. I think tonight, if you look at the application, you look at the output of energy, I don't think you can ever question that. There's times in the game where we did have good possession and had a bit of composure and broke lines or passes and received it on the half turn. You could see how good we were, and we want to try and get more of that next week. But again, as I said, we're a work in progress. You have young players that are very good. You have older players as well. We've had a couple of injuries that we've had to deal with. And again, I think if you look at us now compared to the start of the season, we probably are a more improved team.
Well, on tonight, Tim.
Cheers. Thanks.
Also now here from Cork City legend, Philip Long.
All right, Cork City 1, Finn Harris 0. Not a game that's going to live long in the memory, but Colin Sullivan's goal will fill. What a beauty.
Ah, it's a great goal again by Colin O'Sullivan. You know, I mean, every goal that he scores is spectacular, Rory. There's no such thing as a tap-in. Every goal is very, very good. And, you know, we still forget that he's only 17 years of age. Mm. You know, that kid, we can call him a kid at the moment, you know, he's a great future ahead of him in the game, providing he stays away from injuries and a bit of good luck.
You can hear the shouts there from the crowd as they celebrate with the shed end faithful. This is great to see. But Colin Sullivan, like Tim Clancy said in the press conference earlier in the week, that look, basically enjoying while he have him. He's got a great career of him ahead of him in the game. But his overall play, Phil, he's playing with a maturity beyond his years. And it looks like he's been playing league football for many, many years.
Yeah, it looks like that as well, Rory. I mean, when you look at him, if he loses the ball, he chases after it as well. You know, he wants to get it back and, you know, as if he made a mistake and he wants to rectify it, which is brilliant to see in a kid, you know, and that's part of the game. But like you said, he's just playing very, very mature, as if he's playing all his life there.
Yeah, as I mentioned, it wasn't a spectacular game by any stretch of the imagination. Finn Harps were decent, though. They were dogged and they made City work hard.
Well, especially in the first 2 to 3 minutes, Rory. Let's be honest, they could have scored 2 goals in the first 2 to 3 minutes. So City were unlucky. They kind of started very kind of gingerly as such. So, you know, they were unlucky not to be ahead. And then Cork City just came into the game and it got better and better where City was concerned. But you could see that City were down a gear as such, you know, and they just moved the ball. They did the simple things, which was great. Balcher was brilliant in the middle of the park, and the two centre backs were just lording it every time the ball came in. And you know, it's a great team performance, but we just need to see more goals, and after a goal like that, we want it every week.
I'm going to be watching that goal on a loop, I think, for the rest of the week. It was an absolutely beautiful effort from Colin Sullivan. If you haven't seen it, be sure and check it out on social media. It was absolutely fantastic. 5 wins on the bounce now for Cork City. Fell not easy to do, but it just shows you how consistently they've been playing. You could argue that maybe, look, they're not getting out of top or second gear, not hitting top gear, but they're getting the job done, and that's what it matters in this division.
That's what it's all about, just grinding out the results regardless of what happens during the game. You know, it's just they're there for a reason, to collect 3 points, and they're doing that, you know. So, you know, who's going to stop them at the moment?
It's a question of when, not if. Cork City get promoted. They're 50 points clear. Athlone did win tonight. They won by 4-1. But next up for Cork City, they're playing Stoke in a friendly, but then it is Finn Harps again in the Cup. So obviously something magic about the Cup. Saturday afternoon kickoff for that one. It'll be interesting to see how, I suppose, Tim Clancy approaches the Cup, because but this squad, there's no reason why they can't go on a long run, Phil.
Yeah, but the Cup is totally different to the league. You know, you've only one opportunity and it's 90 minutes do or die, you know. So I still play with a full squad. I wouldn't try and put out a couple of reserve players as such. When I'm saying reserve, I mean the players on the bench. I play with a full team and take my chances there. Mm. You know, so the Cup is very important for the City as well.
All right, Phil, thanks very much as always, boy.
Thank you, Rory.
How are you out?
Poor Aaron Howie. I can now tell you from Croke Park, it's Armagh 114 to Kerry's 113. Can Armagh hold out and pull off the shock victory there? Well, The rest whistle has gone for full time here on the Big Red Bench at Cork School Times Red FM. Dan Casey signing off. A huge, huge week for the Rebels incoming. All the best. Have a good one. And Marty Guilfoyle is on the way next.